Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So ek wil graag hê ons moet sit en dan moet ons vir mekaar sê wat hoor ons in hierdie skrif? Wat staan vir ons uit? Wat is dit wat jy hoor in hierdie skrif? Hou die vrymoedigheid miskien terwyl ons vir die kinders kans gee om net uit te gaan. What is it that hits you when you read the scripture? Jesus is speaking, the Pharisees is asked him about the second coming. And then Jesus answered him, much more than the piece that I've read, but just this piece was speaking to me. Likewise, just in as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out of Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So wat hoor ons? Wat hoor ons behalwe die obvious? Kom ons sê eers mekaar, wat is die obvious wat ons hoor? Gaan op 'n gewone dag gebeur? Kan ek dit anders stel dalk Annetjie? Lyk vir my mense gaan met gewone goed besig wees. Okay, so wat hoor ons? Kom ons deel nog 'n bietjie. Wat hoor ons nog in die skrif? Goed, so die wat nie in die Here is nie, vir hulle gaan dit 'n verskriklike dag wees. Ek lees dit ook al. Kan ek herhaal wat Hein gesê het, is daar's groter vervulling in dit wat God se wil is, as al die ander goed, want al die ander goed gaan verdwyn. Kom ek wil hê ons moet iets in dit raak sien. As jy aan Sodom en Gomorra dink, wat kom eerste by jou op? Goddeloosheid, grove sonde. Dit was vir my interessant dat die skrif nie na Sodom en Gomorra as 'n grove sonde verwys nie. It speaks about good things of life, God things of life. And it says we can be busy with the good things of God and the good things of life and still miss his coming. Sien julle dit in die skrif of nie? Hy sê nie hulle wat in grove sonde besig gaan wees nie. Hy praat van ouens wat geplant en geploeg het, ouens wat gekoop en verkoop het, ouens wat geëet en drink het. Alles kom van die Here af, daai goed wat ons nou genoem het. All of them. But the question is, were you busy with God's kingdom or not? En dit is die profetiese waarskuwing wat ek in die woord hoor, is that it is not only sin that keeps us off away from God, it's also everyday life stuff that keeps us away from God. Dit was my rof toe ek het raak lees. And I say each one of us must take that word and deal with it in your life. Let God speak to you. Don't let the word just condemn you or whatever. Take that word and wrestle with God and say, God, I've got to be a farmer. I've got to plant and I've got to harvest. I've got to eat and drink. Wat het ons nog gekoop? Koop en verkoop. Dis die vier goed wat genoem word. We all will be busy with some of that stuff. But how am I busy with that? And be ready. Ek dink as ek hierdie skrif en miskien sou maak, ek het nou nie eers voor die tyd daaraan gedink nie, dit wat ons probeer het die laaste 3 weke in die gemeente om bietjie vir jou te help, om met die Here te stoei, Here, waarvoor jy my gemaak? What's my specific calling, other than being your child and discipling other people, that's for all of us, the primary call of every Christian. What is that specific thing that you want me to do within where I am, at the farm, at the municipality? As a retired person, what is the specifics you want me to be busy with? And if we don't take the scripture, and this, what I believe is a prophetic warning, I think if we say it's a prophetic warning, I want Anton or some of us to stand up and say, we agree with this word or don't, we don't take it, because that's what we have to do. We don't just take any prophetic words and say, no, that's of God. We test it and we say, is it from God? So as ons sien dat Paulus ons aanbeveel, en in die woord, dat ons dit wat gesê moet word, moet toets. Ons eet dit nie net nie. Miskien voor ons dit eet, moet ons die gemeente geleentheid gee om dit te toets. Kom ons vat 'n oomblik en sê, do we agree with this word? Do we believe this is from God? Or is it just my own imagination? Or do we believe it's from God or not? Is God speaking here to us? Ek dink Erik bevestig, Lisa bevestig, Anton, as jy een met die woord. Amen. ek wil vir ons as gemeente vra, en ek wil vir elkeen van julle individue vra is, en wat jy verhoed, is precies wat Lisa ook gesê het, ja, as jy nie die skrif vat en met hom stoei nie, verhoed jy dat jy deur die vuur saam met die Here stap om gesuiwer te word. So I want each one of us to take the scripture and go and wrestle with it. Take it to God. Say, God, speak to me. And remember, he's a good father. He wants to be loving towards you. He's not giving us the scripture to om ons uit te trap nie. He's calling us. Na hierdie skrif, gaan lees Romeine 8, Lukas 18, waar begin hy, hy sê, therefore, pray continually, en moenie mismoedig raak nie. Then you will have faith when I return. Die Here roep ons, sodat ons geloof sal hê as hy terugkom en besig sal wees met sy dinge. Ons geskrifgedeelte vir oggend, die kern daarvan is in Efese. Ons is besig met, ek dink ek het so 3 goed daar opgesit, and I want to call us to a place where we are building, and through our building we love. Ons is besig in die gemeente om te kyk how to love one another, hoe om beter lief te hê, hoe om seker te maak dat elkeen in die liggaam lief gehê word en omgegee word voor. We talked about loving one another, we are gifted by the Holy Spirit, and let your gifts love another. Hoe laat jy toe dat die gawes wat die Here jou gegee het ander lief hê? En ek wil iets daaroor vanoggend net vinnig sê, ek het die week, ek het so baie om te deel, ek het, dit is so lekker om tyd in die woord te spandeer, maar ek sal probeer om het kort te hou. Die eerste keer wat die woord en die concept, a gift, a gave van God voorkom, as a spiritual gift, is in Romeine 1 vers 11 en 12. So ek wil eers net bietjie dit lees, en uit dit uit iets vat. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to strengthen you. That is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paulus skryf aan die gemeente in Rome, en hy sê, dit is 'n bietjie snaaks vertaal, en jy mag het mislees, as jy nie versigtig is nie. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Wat maak ons van dit? Who is giving a spiritual gift? Where do we get spiritual gifts? Holy Spirit. So, could Paul mean that? Could he mean that he wants to give a spiritual gift to the congregation in Rome? Kan hy dit bedoel? Hy kan nie dit bedoel nie, want ons kan nie, Paulus kan dit nie vir ons gee nie. It is from the Holy Spirit. What he's trying to say is, I want to use my spiritual gift to encourage you, to strengthen you. Dis wat Paulus probeer om hier te sê. En ek wil dit as 'n kern fokuspunt vat van alles wat ons oor die laaste 3 weke rondom gifting en callings en spesifieke dinge wat die Here vir jou gewys het is. How do you use that to strengthen someone? Paulus bedoel hy wil hulle fisies sterk maak. Wat wil hy doen? He wants to grow their faith. He wants to encourage them om nie moedeloos te raak nie. Hy sê hieronder, mutually encouraged by each other's faith. My faith stir faith in jou. I use the gift that God has given me to encourage and to strengthen you that your faith may increase. Do we see that? So dit is belangrik, en joh, ek moet sê, vir my was daar 'n stuk vryheid in gewees, om dit so eenvoudig as dit te stel. Dink partykeer hak ons so vas by wat is giftings en wat is my giftings, we never get to do anything. En ek wil vanoggend vir ons net met die simpel ding in die pad afstuur om te sê, do you see someone's faith is in danger? And decide how are you going to encourage him? And you are using a spiritual gift. En ek dink die belangrike ding is om te sien, is dat het vanoggend ook gebid, voor die tyd, is dat ons nie op ons natuurlike ability staat maak om iemand se gift, se faith te stir nie, en te encourage nie. Nie op my natuurlike ability. Die Heilige Gees sal nie in ons gemeente actief werksaam wees, as ons op ons natuurlike vermoën staat maak nie. But the Holy Spirit will work if we depend upon Him to use us and work through us to strengthen others' faith. So ek wil jou uitdaag om net jou oë oop te hou om te sê, waar sien ek het iemand se geloof aanmoediging nodig?
and serve that. If that is by inviting him for a cup of tea, you're hospitable. If it is to give him a word, you're giving a prophetic word or a word of encouragement. Or if it is to teach him something from the word, you are teaching there. You've got a gift of teaching there. As it is om om te waarsku, then you exhort him. Ek wil hê ons moet dit eenvoudig maak. See the need and ask the Holy Spirit, help me to encourage faith. My aim is, this is what Paulus hier sê, is the spiritual gift that I have, I want to come to you and use it that you may be strengthened in your faith. And mutually strengthen it us. As die Heilige Gees ons gebruik om iemand te serve met ons gift, wat doen dit met onsself? Ja, dit groei op ons faith, precies wat vers 12 sê. Tja, ek het die week, soos ek hier deur gelees het, is die ding wat ek in die oggend mee wil opstaan om te sê, Here, wys my iemand wie se geloof ek kan bemoedig. Wys my iemand wie se geloof ek kan versterk vandag. Gebruik my so. And depend upon the Holy Spirit to do that. Don't depend upon your own ability to do that. And do what you feel is best in that situation. And be obedient to that. Net vinnig ietsie lees uit Romeine 12 vers 5 en 6. En same dit uit Efesiërs 4 vers 7, voordat ons gaan na Efesiërs 4 toe. Romeine 12 vers 5 sê, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. Let us use them. So, dis verskillend, dit is gegee volgens Godse genade. Ons gaan nou in Efesiërs 4 vers 7, is my interessant, word precies dieselfde ding gesê, volgens grace is een specific maat vir jou gegee. Maar die opdrag hier is, let us use them. Laat ons hulle gebruik. Ek wil net weer sê, the Holy Spirit is at work in the congregation when we don't depend on our natural abilities. But upon the measure of grace that Christ has given you, kan ek weer sê, die Heilige Gees gaan werksaam wees en is werksaam. Die Heilige Gees werk reeds in ons gemeente. Ons weet dit. Hy is werksaam soos wat ons staat maak op hierdie genadegawe wat vir elkeen van ons in 'n sekere mate gegee is en ons dit gebruik. Kom ons lees wat sê Efesiërs 4 vers 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. But grace was given to each one. Hoor julle dat dit dieselfde sê as Romeine. Grace en same dit 'n sekere gedeelte van die gift is aan ons gegee. Die vraag is vanoggend en ek wil graag hê dan moet ons by Efesiërs 4 en 13 tot 11 tot 13 net stil staan. Ons het gawes ontvang. Kom ons lees eers die skrifgedeelte. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to what? To equip the saints. Okay, there's an equipping of the saints that has to happen for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith. Sien ons weer hierso, dat die ministry van saints geloof bou. As ons teruggaan na Efesiërs 4 vers 7, wat net voor die skrifgedeelte staan en sê, we are depending upon that grace that is allotted to us in a specific gift. And we use that in ministry to build faith. And then unity in faith. And there's more. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, miskien net bietjie stadiger. Ek wil hier vanoggend fokus op, ek gaan iets daaroor sê, ek wil hier vanoggend fokus op wat die Here gegee het in apostels, prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers nie. They are there to equip the saints. Let's say that is happening. What is the responsibility of the saints? Wat moet gebeur met die saints? And we see it is to do the work of the ministry and to build up the body. Building, growing, encouraging, increasing faith, strengthening, it's the same thing. So the body itself is strengthened by the work of the members of the saints in the body. Ek dink 'n belangrike ding om hier net te sien en dit is wat ek net graag wil sê oor die vyfvoudige bediening dan hier soos wat dit in die kerk bekend staan. Ons sien hierso dat ons gawes ontvang het, maar nie in so 'n mate dat ons nie toerusting nodig het nie. Hoor ons dit? Ek het 'n gawe van die Heilige Gees ontvang, maar saam met dit, toerus beteken heel maak, iets wat kortkom toevoeg. My gawe maak nie dat ek dit nie nodig het nie. I need that as well. Okay, so ons moet oop wees daarvoor om toegerus te wees. Ons moet honger wees om daarvoor om toegerus te wees. So miskien het iets oor, ons het steeds apostoliese autoriteit nodig, wat meeste uit die skrif uitkom. Ons het nog steeds profetiese bemoediging nodig, ons het evangeliese opleiding nodig, pastorale versorging, en ons het mense nodig wat ons leer hoe om die evangelie toe te pas. So, we are gifted, but we need to be equipped. You need the church and the church needs you. Both ways we are working here. Belangrik om te sien, wat is het wat ons ministry moet bewerkstellig? Wat wil ons sien, moet ons ministry aan mekaar en tussen mekaar bewerkstellig? En dit is, dat daar eenheid in geloof sal kom. Ons weet dat ons die Here vertrou dat daar groter eenheid in ons gemeente en tussen ons gemeente sal groei in hierdie jaar. Being one, unity. Eenheid in geloof. En dit beteken, as ons nie dieselfde glo nie, we don't have unity. So we should use our giftings and the word and the encouragement and the teachings to come to a unity in faith. Dat daar eenheid in ons geloof sal wees. Die tweede ding is, dat ons die Seun van God sal ken vir wie hy is. Knowledge of the Son of God. En ek wil hierby sê, ek sien dat ons in tye leef, waar ons meer belangstel in the experience of the Son of God, than in the knowledge of the Son of God. We need both. It's not that we don't need. If we only have knowledge and never experience it, it's dead knowledge. Maar wees versigtig dat ons nie meer belangstel in die experience, that we are more interested in experience than in the knowledge of Christ. We need both of that, not only one. En ons sien that we need to come to maturity as a body. We are not talking about individual. It's true that the individual must mature as well. But we need to see that the body comes to unity. So iets wat ek wil hê wat ons moet sien hier, wat teen ons individualistiese uitkyk in die lewe gaan. It's going against our individualistic times that we are living in. Your ministry is not to bring an individual or only you to maturity. We need to keep in mind we are trying to build the body into a unity of a full stature of Christ. May that be, let God work with you. How does that work? Ons sal nou iets oor dit sê. Hoe werk dit dat jou bediening en jou gawes die eenheid van die liggaam bou en nie verbreek nie? Hoe bring dit die eenheid by mekaar? How does it complement one another? How do we see unity after a while instead of just ministry that does not lead to a unity? We need to see unity in that. So, ek wil net weer gaan opsom wat het ons sover gesê, sê, elkeen van ons het gifts ontvang, en die eenvoudige vraag wat ons moet vra is, where does faith need to be encouraged? And let us serve there, the best we know and the best we can, by depending on the Spirit. Kom ons hou in gedachte, ek het 'n gift ontvang, maar ek moet ook nog equip word. Ek moet toegerus word, sodat ek die funksie kan vervul, waar die, so it's not my responsibility to bring the church and this part of the body to the fullness of Christ. I am trying to equip, but it's the work of everyone to bring that into the unity and to the fullness and to the knowledge. It's not only my responsibility, I'm part of it, but it's every one of us. It's all of our responsibility. Die vraag is, waar gebeur dit eintlik? Where does it happen? Hoe kry ons dit praktyk reg? En ek wil vanoggend weer hê ons moet 'n fokus daarop hê om te sê dat ek dink Marinda, sy het nie eens geweet waaroor ek die woord bring vanoggend of het jy? nie geweet. Sy het dit net toe gesê, dat toe sy oor sy oor klein groepe afkondiging gemaak het, dit gebeur baie beter in 'n klein groep as wat dit vanoggend hier gebeur. This morning is the glory of God, the unity, and maybe a bit of equipping and teaching. But the essence of it, we are not able to facilitate here. Where do we go with it? So kom ons lees 'n paar skrifte en kyk of dit vir ons aandui wat het die Nuwe Testament daarmee gemaak. Ek is amper klaar. Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The early Christians from house to house, this is what they did. They focused on the apostles' teachings, fellowship, caring for one another, the breaking of bread, which is communion, and they prayed together. House to house. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day, not only Sunday morning, every day, every day. Where is the best place for this exhortation to take place? Not here. It's not the place. Why do we have to exhort one another? That none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. James 5 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is great, has great power in its working. And the last one is Matthew 18:18-19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them, my Father, by my Father in heaven. For there, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Sien ons hoe dat daar ministry eintlik in kleiner groepe plaasvind, not in a meeting like this. And therefore, I want to encourage us again to do the work of the ministry. That's what Ephesians 4 is calling all of us for. To use the gifts, to use the word, and to work in small groups, to do the work of the ministry in those small groups. Ek wil hê ons moet sien dat as ons die klein groepe neglect, as ons nie gaan om met ons gift geloof te gaan encourage, julle weet, julle ken dit beter as ek, hoe ons in klein groepe kom, and we need, people need encouragement for the faith. And you, the church needs you there. Die kerk het jou nodig om in daai klein groepe jou gift te bring, sodat jy kan encourage. Die kerk het nodig dat jy deur die week jou oë oop hou en weet wat gaan met die ouens in jou sel of dalk ander plekke in die kerk is. When you meet somebody of the body, is your eyes open to see if there's a need of encouragement, a need strengthening of faith. Mag die Here ons wakker maak in die oggend. Ek wil afsluit nou met 'n paar skrifte wat iemand agter mekaar gesit het wat vir my so mooi is. Maar ek wil ons aanmoedig om in die oggend op te staan en sê, Lord, show me where can I encourage faith. Dis my so lekker eenvoudige manier om dit te doen. And then use the best method you know, the best gift you've got, but depend on the Spirit, not your natural ability. Mag ons in die klein groepe met hierdie hart daarna toe gaan, mag ons by mekaar se huise uitkom met hierdie hart, sodat ons tot die vol Christus en die mature Christ kan groei. Dit is, dit is die gemeente as 'n geheel se werk om dit te doen. And we are doing it. So keep on with it. Be encouraged this morning that you are needed by the church. Everyone is needed by the church. But with that, you also need the rest of the church to be equipped. Ons het meer nodig as wat die Heilige Gees ons mee toegerus het. dan het miskien, ek het die preek voorberei sonder om dit mooi te sien, maar ek, ek kom ons lees hierdie laaste twee skrifte wat ek by mekaar gesit het. Wat aansluit eintlik by daai woord, sien ek nou mooi. You are on assignment from God. This is why Paul says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. 1 Korintiërs 7 vers 17. You are not your own. Ancient die oor gepreek rukkie terug. 1 Korintiërs 6 vers 19. You are a bond servant of Christ and a steward of the gifts you received. Others need your gift. That's why you have them. Kan ons dit weer lees van begin af? Kom ons lees dit weer van voor af. You are on assignment from God. So what we and dit is as ek dit nou moet vergelyk met die woord van Sodom en Gomorra in Lukas 17. They were busy with their own assignment, planting and plowing and building and selling. They were busy with their own assignment, that's why they weren't ready. And let God show us how to be busy with his assignment. That is why Paul says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. You are not your own. You are a bondservant of Christ and a steward of the gifts you have received. Others need your gifts. That's why you have them. Kom ons staan dan bid ons saam.